What's going on, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Porto Podcast in English. This is episode number 5. I am your host, Rui dos Santos, and I'm with, alongside my co-host, Jason Rigu. Jason, how are you doing, man?
I think we've seen better days, but I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, man, I feel you on that. Last week on the podcast, we were ecstatic, we were pumped, got you going, saying Vamos Porto, and like now it's just a drastic turn of events, man. Just getting that beat down last weekend against Rio Ave. Now things with the whole transfer window deadline coming up. Well, actually, it's gonna expire tomorrow at 11 p.m. in the UK time. So the day before the transfer deadline, still no big signings for Porto. It seems like Sergio Conceição, or maybe the board, is satisfied with what we have, and Sergio Conceição is just gonna have to work with what he has. But Jason, we got a lot to talk about in this episode, and of course we have your awesome Twitter questions. Thank you guys for participating in those. Jason, let's start off with just the Rio Ave game. Obviously, we got beat pretty badly, 3-1, embarrassed at Rio Ave. 2 goals from Azizi Akubu and an assist from him as well. He assisted Pedro Amaral's goal. Rio Ave went up 3-0 into halftime. Missed penalty, missed golden opportunities on the attacking side from our part. The defense was caught sleeping on numerous occasions. What say you about this entire game?
I think it's one of those games where everything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, Porto still had 27 shots to Rio Ave 6. Rio Ave was obviously more efficient. They scored 3 out of those 6, 4 of them on target. We had more possession, but I think we're just going to go right back to the issues we've been harping on for the past few weeks. It's Marcano is definitely not the starter. We've said it. He had a few good performances, but we said he still made crucial errors in each and every match, and we're still lacking that creative midfielder. Like I said, we had plenty of chances, even some point blank, but we did not have that final pass just to break us through. It was a game filled with ups and downs. You had some hope with Taremi's PK. You thought we were going to come back. I think it was just a frustrating day. It's good that Porto got humbled at the end of the day. The horses were flying high. It's good for us. I think Sergio will respond to this. It's good for the players. They need to face defeat. I've got to tip my hat to Rio Ave. They executed their game well. They played compact. They waited for their opportunities. They were patient. And let me say, goals 2 and 3 were beauties, to say the least.
Yeah. We can say that our defense slept on those. I think it was more perfect execution than it was just us sleeping, because who knows, even if our defense was wide awake and well aware of what was going on, and if they actually had the opportunity to defend that at like a 100% opportunity, I don't know if they would get it. It was just really good football played, great balls. The crosses were fantastic, and the finish was there. Nothing Diogo Costa could really do on basically all those goals. He was left out to dry. You know, this is the thing. I feel like we're talking about this every single episode, and it's all we talk about on Twitter. It's all that's been going on around the Twitter community. The midfield, Marcano, all of that, and everything just went absolutely wrong in this game. As you said, defense was caught sleeping, and when we need our midfield and our attackers to bail us out, they're not there. When we need the defense to bail the midfield out and the attackers there, they weren't there in this game. It was just a mess. And every opportunity we had to just get onto the score sheet before Tony Martinez's goal in the 93rd, it was already way too late for a comeback. We just, the missed penalty, Andre Franco had a good opportunity. I believe Galeno also had a decent opportunity. I felt that we were getting forward, and Sergio Conceição had the right idea in the second half, but we just couldn't capitalize. And obviously being down 3-0, it really makes everything worse. And we should never be in that situation in the first place. But then again, when you're in a game like this and you have the ability, you have the tools to put 3 goals away, at least in one half, you got to capitalize on these opportunities. And that was like a frustrating part, because the way we were coming out into the second half, I felt like we were still alive, that we could make some sort of comeback. We have the capability. We have the players that have the quality for that. But it just, I tweeted it right out. Once Taremi missed that penalty, I was like, that was the opportunity. And it's just not meant to be. But I mean, unfortunately, football works like that. That's how it goes. It's not, I don't want to say it wasn't a fair result for Riwab. It was more than fair for them, but that's just the way football goes. You have these opportunities that just don't go in, and that's the frustrating part.
Yeah, I mean, you could state this too. Riwab, they came out not afraid. They came out with a nice high press. They put the pressure on Porto's backs. They created those chances through their tactics. And on top of that, Riwab's goalie had a good day, and he made some probably deflating saves, and he took the life out of Porto, where Diogo Costa has been the one doing that on the other end. But I've got to say hats off to Riwab in this masterclass, whether it's the coach or whatever it is. And there's going to be some points we need to hit home, of course, with like the Bruno Costa and the Marcano starters, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those are the two parts or two players of the starting lineup that have been receiving the most amount of criticism and questions throughout the entire season, the center midfield position, and then obviously Marcano starting the first four games of the season. I don't know, Jason, before we jump into that question, where do you think lost us in this game? Was it more the defense? Was it the team just never waking up and being creative and being threatening in the midfield, getting into transition and creating dangerous plays? What say you about it?
So I really think that first goal, I don't know if it was lack of communication or just mispositioning. That first goal was a cheap one to give up. I thought it was weak. It was early. Yep. One. That gives Riwab all the life. I mean, clearly they came to the game with some confidence, right? They almost had a nice opportunity minute one. Then they get that early goal, and they're just executing their game plan well with the high press. And if you can execute a high press and you're forcing errors from Porto's backs, that confidence is just going to keep swinging, and Porto's going to feel the pressure. And Riwab, if they break free, like, they're going to get energized. The high press is going to last. It's when you high press and you get scored on is when you kind of feel deflated. You lose energy fast. But I think that was a rewarding goal for them, for their efforts. And I think it was... Let's go with this. It started with the sloppy defensive error and mispositioning and miscommunication on that first goal. And then after that, it just felt like guys weren't on the same page going forward. Like, yeah. I said, I think we had opportunities. Like, we clearly could have won this match. Could have went the other way, 3-1. It could have went 3-3. This game could have went either way. It just wasn't Porto's day. But yeah. I really think that Marcano is showing signs of weakness. It just got exposed to speed and just one slip up. His legs can't make up for those mistakes anymore.
Yeah. And it's that. And also, you know, when you're an experienced defender like Marcano, obviously his best days are way behind him. He showed lack of awareness, lack of positioning, where usually players with experience, that's not their flaw. That doesn't really come with age. And it's just... It was just so disappointing because Sergio Conceição relied on him to have a good performance. He had a decent start to the season. I know there's been hiccups and mistakes that he's made, but man, this is it's just really, really unfortunate, you know, how we just go down one goal and then it's another defensive error. I don't want to say it's all on him. It's a team effort. Obviously, the midfield wasn't there to bail us out. And like, as you said, no one seemed to be on the right page, whether it was defensively, the midfield, or the attackers after the first goal. And usually after we're down 1-0, Porto usually does a good job being resilient and coming back and clawing their way back and keeping their cool and finding a way to get the 3 points to complete the comeback. We've seen it countless times with Sergio Conceição. And, you know, this is something, obviously, it can be a wake-up call, or it's something that can be really troubling, because what we're used to seeing from a Sergio Conceição team is to come back and actually get a point or finish with 3 points. This, and knowing that we have all these questions in our starting 11, I don't know. It seems a little troubling to me. What say you?
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to be patient and trust Chris Sergio and see how he responds. I think there'll be changes to come. Hopefully, we see Garmu get his chance. I think another bright spot in this game was, I think Galeno came on the pitch and he made an impact again. I think it was a positive one. I liked what I saw. He had a good attitude. Obviously, everyone on the team was frustrated, but at least they did not give up at the end of the day. They kept fighting till the end. They scored a late one. I think it's just early in the season. The season's, think about it. What is it? There are 18 teams in the league. So there's 34 matches. We're only 4 matches in. I think we need to be patient. Can we be satisfied with this result? Never. But I think it's going to be, like I said, we said this last episode, there's going to be plenty of ups and downs. I think we just got to take this. It's humble. Take some humble pie and let's learn from it. And Porto needs to readjust and move on.
It's early in the season. Maybe we're overreacting, but it's frustrating because these are points. This is a newly promoted squad. They were just in the second division last year. We were expecting 3 points. We were expecting, you know, getting as much points early on as possible until Sergio Conceição is ready to figure everything out. I do love how you touched up on Galeno because I was totally going to forget about him. He seemed to me, him and Tony Martinez, both coming off the bench, were the only ones that actually wanted to win that game. We're giving everything. Tony Martinez was trying to get into every position that he could to get some shots off, some goal scoring opportunities. He got a few of them off, and I'm happy he was able to at least get a goal in. I felt like he deserved it. But Galeno, you saw his frustration. You know, he seemed like the guy that felt that they should have been back in this game a lot sooner. They should have put in goals and even finish with a draw because Porto had that quality, and there were times in the game where they should have scored. And you know, it was good to see with a bench player coming in providing a little bit of a spark and just wanting to win the game and believing. So I think that's going to I hope that plays a part in Sergio Conceição starting him for the next game, because I don't know who else really earns it, would deserve to play in the next game in the starting lineup than him, because I thought he was fantastic coming off the bench. What say you about the upcoming match this weekend? The starting 11, any changes? You think Galeno should start? Is Marcano out? Bruno Costa, is he out too?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him going. I was already surprised this game. He went back to Bruno Costa. That was a little strange to me.
Yeah,
we spoke about him. I think he's a role player. He's a substitute. He's not your starter for that role. I don't see Bruno starting again. I do think we see the possibility of Carmu getting the start and benching Marcano finally. I think everyone else will be the same. I don't think Galeno will get the start just yet, but I wouldn't put it past him if he does. I just don't see it yet. But I think it'll probably be the Bruno Costa on the bench and Marcano on the bench will probably be the two changes that we see.
Yeah, sure. I think so too. I think Bruno Costa, I mean, we touched up on it, as you mentioned. He's a role player. In certain games, we go with a certain strategy like we did against Sporting. Then it would make sense to use him. But we can't use him as our creative midfielder. We have to go a different route. And he got caught sleeping on one of the goals where it was his man ended up scoring the goal. So I definitely don't see him starting. I think Galeno definitely earns it. And then David Carmu, I am going to say he's going to make a start. I think Marcano's luck has run out. His time is up. And I think we have to finally integrate David Carmu into the starting lineup because he's a young player. He's eyeing to play in the World Cup. I don't know if Fernando Santos is going to consider taking him yet, but who knows? But he needs to get onto the field ASAP. We need something different back there because in these games, the first 4 games, it was a little shaky and uneasy, unsteady back there on defense. So we're going to have to wait and see how that all plays out. Hopefully the changes are made and we come out on top this weekend. Let's move over to the Champions League because the Champions League draw took place about a week ago. We're a little late on this, so we'll touch up on it really quick. Jason, we are in Group B in the Champions League and we drew 2 Atletico Madrid, Bayer Leverkusen and Club Bruges. What do you think about this?
I think the group's manageable. We didn't get the worst draw from the teams in Portugal.
Yep.
Is it easy? I don't think so. I think we struggle against German teams. Atletico, doesn't matter how they're doing in their league. They're always going to be a strong competitor. They've got some names in there. They're going to be a good team. They're good defensively. They've got a few goal scorers. I think they're obviously the strongest team in there. Can Porto take a win at home against them? I think so, but I see a tie. And Club Brugge, I mean, we should get the 3 points at home, and who knows how we travel there. We should be the stronger side, so hopefully we take the 6 points from them and we secure a second place in this group. But I just don't see it being a walk in the park by any means.
No, Champions League is never... It's never easy. These group stages can be tricky and difficult. But I think I like our chances this year compared to last year's draw that we had, where we were in the group of death with AC Milan, Atletico, and Liverpool. I think we'll finish at least second place. And, you know, I'm not really bought on Atletico Madrid, so I think we could probably get a draw. If we can upset them and get those crucial 6 points against Club Brugge, because I think that's where our stepping stone is getting those 6 points from Club Brugge. And then if we can get 3 points from Bayer Leverkusen and then maybe a point against Atletico, that's 10 points. And I think that's enough for us to get into the knockout stage. But I think an upset against Atletico Madrid can probably get us into first place. And I think we can upset them. So let's move on to the transfer window deadline. The transfer window is going to expire tomorrow at 11 p.m., as I mentioned earlier. Porto are yet to really make the moves that they need. They signed a Samuel Portugal from Portimonense for 4 million euros today, and that's about it. There's been some rumors about Arthur from Juventus coming in on a loan, but that seems highly unlikely. And then there's another rumor going around saying that Porto will announce a player, they will announce a signing tomorrow that isn't Samuel Portugal, who signed today. So I'm not really sure who else we're really linked to or who that person could be. I'm hoping it's Arthur. I hope it's a creative midfielder that can help us out in that midfield. Jason, what do you think about all this? Do we need that extra player in the midfield or an extra player elsewhere? Or are you totally confident in the squad that we have right now?
I mean, I think I'm still confident in the squad we have. That spot is gonna be someone that just fills the role. I don't think that person's gonna be the man of the team. I think we got guys that can step up there. It's gonna be. I don't see us signing anyone. We don't have that type of money for the types of guys we're thinking for that role. And I think year after year, Porto has guys that people wouldn't have said was gonna be the man on the squad the next year, and they end up being the man. So we'll see who steps up. I believe someone's going to step up.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it this way. I feel like any signing that we make, it's a panic signing just to like try something different. Or if we squeeze in a loan, it's just like it's almost the same thing, but maybe it's not anyone special or anything like that that would make an impact. You know, it's so frustrating because you look at Benfica signing Julian Draxler today, you know, a player of that caliber who, you know, has had an up and down career, but he's well experienced. He has good quality, and I think he can do more than well in the Portuguese league. And here we are. We're linked with so many players that we never pulled the trigger on, and we never, you know, the deals never happen. And Benfica is signing a great player to add to their roster. You know, it becomes so frustrating and annoying because we're in need of change and we need players. But, you know, there's so many factors that go into it. Obviously, I think money has to go into it because we've been under FFP watch for a number of years. So, I mean, so much goes into it, but it's just frustrating. I feel like we could have done so much better and a better job at attracting players and signing someone to fulfill that Vitinha role.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't know. It's not every season we have a player that good for that role. So I think, like I said, I think we're really spoiled with last season. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I wouldn't say they're not going to sign anybody, but I just wouldn't bet if I had to bet money, I wouldn't bet on it.
I know I'm getting a little off topic here, but who would you like to start alongside Uribe in the match this weekend? Because there's been a lot of talk in about Steven Eustáquio coming in and giving him a chance. Outside of that, maybe André Franco, but I don't know if he can actually play deeper. You know what I mean?
I mean, Eustáquio could fill that role no problem. I think it'd be a big risk to, I think that'd be a big weight on his shoulders so early on in the season. Like, I could see him being a starter as the season progresses, but if you want to throw the kid into the fire, I think he can handle it. It's just, I don't know if that's a championship caliber team, right? I think that's almost like a rebuilding phase.
Right.
I think the kid's going to be capable of something good, and I definitely like him, but at this very moment, can he take us to the next level? I'm not convinced. But I do like him, and I definitely wouldn't mind him starting. I wouldn't want people to get all up in arms and upset when we're not seeing the results we expect, right?
Right, exactly. And I think what we expect out of that position isn't really the player naturally that Steven Eustáquio is. So, I totally agree with you on that. And like and just before we move on to the Twitter questions, like the most frustrating part about this is this whole transfer window, or at least going into the deadline, is signing a goalkeeper where we don't need a backup goalkeeper because we have two backup goalkeepers that are more than capable of filling in for Diogo Costa if he goes down for a few games. But it makes me wonder, because with this board, anything can happen, but it makes me wonder if they are preparing for the future or preparing to accept an offer from whatever club in January for Diogo Costa, because Samuel Portugal is not a bad goalkeeper at all. He would definitely be our second best goalkeeper. He had a great season last year, but it just makes me wonder why they would make a move, pay 4 million euros for a backup goalkeeper from the Portuguese league. You know, I don't know. It's just that money could have been spent on another midfielder or something, you know?
Yeah, I think they're just planning for Diogo Costa's departure. I easily do think it could be in January. I think that'll depend on if we're still in the Champions League or not, and his performance, etc. I don't know. And I think so how's this going to work this year, right? The transfer window is in January, correct?
Yep.
And then the World Cup's in November, December.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly think they're planning for his departure in January. I think they think he's going to have a good World Cup. He's going to perform, and I think he's going to get the eyes of others, and someone's going to buy him.
Very interesting. Yeah, because a lot of people, I mentioned this today on Twitter, and people don't believe that they would sell in January, but we did that to Luis Diaz last year, and he was our best player going into the transfer window where we were in a title fight. We weren't in the Champions League anymore, but I feel like going into the Europa League, he could have really pushed us even further having him on the pitch in those games. So, I mean, and I feel like any other time, if Porto was more financially stable, they would end up keeping Luis Diaz and finishing off the season and then getting rid of him in the summertime. And for the amount that they sold him for, 45 million, and look what he's doing at Liverpool, it's mind-boggling. So I really wouldn't bet on it that they wouldn't sell him in January. So that's something to kind of keep your eye on. I think if the offer comes and someone pulls that release clause, I think Porto is just going to take the money because they need it, just like they needed the money from Luis Diaz. All right, so let's move on to the Twitter questions. We have some great Twitter questions from you guys. Thank you again for sending them in. First question comes from Matthew Dizazuj at Matthew_FC Porto. To change it up for the expected comments about last week's game against Rio Ave that are going to come up, lineups, tactics, midfield, fullbacks, thoughts on our Champions League group? Do you see us making it through considering we had difficulties with Bayer Leverkusen in the past? Jason, you pretty much touched up on this. What do you have to say about this?
I'm still convinced we're going to make it through, but I think they're going to make it difficult. I think we struggle against the physicality of the Germans and their play style. I think we have enough to make it through. Obviously, we have some doubts after last week's match, but I think Porto is going to develop and play some great football this season. I think we should be okay. I mean, I can see us taking a loss in Germany, but I think we'll win at home. And it's like we said before, if we can get the 6 points at Club Brugge, I think we'll be okay. But yeah, I think we'll be second place, and I definitely think the Germans will still give us a hard time, for sure.
Yep. Nicholas at INF33, why do you think the coach trusts Goshta over Stakiu, and do you think this was justified? What do you say, Jason?
Yeah, I kind of understand why he went with Bruno and he trusted him. I think the issue was Rioav made the game more difficult than Sergio expected. I really think the high press threw Porto off. Because we talk about it all the time, the quote-unquote smaller clubs, they'll play compact, right? And they'll make Porto's life difficult. But not only did Rioav play compact and made it tough for us to pass and difficult for Porto to pass through or anything, I think that high press really threw Porto off. And us not having that creative guy to alleviate that pressure, I mean, it made the press easy for Rioav, and they executed it well in the first half. And I think we ended up chasing the game because they scored that early goal. And when you're chasing, it's not the game. It's the game's not fun. And if you don't have those guys comfortable on the ball, making those plays happen, carrying those ball carriers, right, creating the space for others, I think the game kind of becomes chaotic. And that's exactly what Rioav did. They did it well. They made fouls at the right moments in time when Porto was gaining momentum. They would knock us little bumps here and there. I think the Bruno Costa call was fine, but I think he's going to reevaluate that after this game. And I mean, if he repeats the error, then I would say we should have some talks. But in 2020 vision, it's easy to say that was the wrong call. But
yeah, I mean, but you have to see.
And I get why he doesn't trust Estakio yet. He has to show us that he's the guy.
Yeah. Conceição's been at the club for 5 years now. So he understands now. He's matured and he's developed and he's been improving every single year as a manager, picking up on mistakes, how to deploy the squad, et cetera, et cetera. So I can't fault him for putting Costa in after the performance he had against Sporting, because he just put him out there and told him to do a specific job, and he did it well against Sporting. He did the same thing against Rioav. He had a job to do. He didn't fulfill it. So, you know, it's... So, I hope now Sergio Conceição has something else, something different to go into this game, because the midfield needs to be corrected, whether it's Eustáquio or Grujic or Otávio or whoever it is, or whatever formation he wants to deploy that he thinks is best. It's got to be figured out soon. Next question, Miguel at Migas_FCP. Do you think Sergio Conceição will actually buy a Vitinha replacement? He's been gone for 2 months and we've still yet to sign a replacement. The most fundamental part of this team is missing a true number 8. Time is running out. We need one desperately.
I would say don't get your hopes up. I don't see it coming. I don't really have much more to say on this topic. Is it sad? Of course it is. I'm convinced we lost Vitinha too early for a cheap price. And I don't see there being an actual replacement. Even if someone could fulfill half of the shoes and the what he was capable of, I don't see it this season.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to say he's a once in a lifetime player, but players like Vitinha, players like Moutinho, they don't come around often. And Porto never really had too many great central midfielders that could create, that had that ability to dictate the tempo, control the game from the midfield, you know, extend play and keep everything calm when the opposition is pressing and all that. Not going to say that we didn't have a lot of them, but to the level that Vitinha and Moutinho brought, not too many. That we didn't have too many of those players. So to find a replacement just like that or close to that, it's asking for a lot because those players are special. And even the years when we won the titles, you know, in 2020 and in 2018, we didn't have like the best creative midfielders like that. Obviously, the teams were different and the midfielders were obviously different that we had, but you know, it's asking for a lot. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to have to work with the players that we have now, and maybe something, maybe a panic signing or maybe a loan we'll make within the next 24 hours or so. And if that player performs, he performs. If not, I mean, I wouldn't get your hopes up if we do make a signing. So
think about this. We didn't appreciate Ruben Neves when he was at Porto.
I know. And he left too early.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, and
that's what I mean. We let him walk.
He left way too early, and we sold him for peanuts, pennies, too. I think it was like $15 million, maybe, if that. And he was already the captain. He captained the team in the Champions League when he was.
Yep.
I think he was 18. I think he was 18.
Wow.
How do you let a player go like that and to a second division club in England? Yep. So it's. Yeah, I don't even want to think about this because too many deals we've pissed away, and we look back at it, it's just like, what were we thinking? And too many of them happen this transfer window. So next question goes to comes from our friend FCP1992 at FCP1992. Do you see any mids coming in between now and end of the window? Is it likely a loan? If not, how do we approach it from now? Is Otavio, Andre Franco the solution in the midfield? Will the Marcano experiment end next game? Yeah, as you can tell, everyone is pretty much pissed off and frustrated about the midfield, and more so than the whole Marcano experiment, because that was predictable, and we have something that was expected, and we have something as a replacement, a solution to that. Again, I don't really see anyone special coming in the window. Maybe a loan, who knows? I don't know. I guess if not, how do we approach it now? That's a good part of the question. Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping for a loan, right? I don't know what the solution is. I don't have the answers. I don't see them in training. I really think we need to change the formation a little bit. I think tweaks need to be made for sure. I wouldn't even be surprised if Pepe goes back to right back this season, I'm telling you. I think there's going to be a lot of changes. I can't foresee the future. I think the Marcano experiment is finally over. And if it's not over yet, it will be over sooner than later, for sure.
Yeah. You know, the more that I think about it, I think there's going to be a lot of trial and error, a lot of experimenting, a lot of trying players in different positions or different formations and whatnot, because there's too much of an insecurity in those positions that need to be fulfilled, where we're expecting more and we're not really getting it. So, I feel like we will get it under control. I think we can end up playing some good football. I think it's all a matter of when it's going to happen. And in that meantime of figuring things out, how many points are we going to drop? That's where it becomes the frustrating part. I don't mind playing scrappy football and we're getting 3 points at the end of the day and we're figuring it out in the meantime. I'm totally fine with that. But if we're not picking up those 3 points and we're still having our struggles and we're still trying to figure things out, it's going to be troubling. And it's going to be troubling when we get into the Champions League, Taça de Portugal, and, you know, most importantly, fighting for the league championship. So next question comes from at Vasco Branco 10. Why did Conceição change the systems this year? And if it is the lack of a proper replacement for Vitinha that made him do this, Also, shouldn't we play with wingers? I believe our wingbacks are not good enough to do that, especially on the left side. I don't know. I don't want to say that he changed. I guess you can say that he changed systems because we don't have Vitinha again. So we're kind of back to like square one, where how we played, how we approached games before Vitinha was a starter. So should we play more with the wingers? I feel like we have been. And obviously our fullbacks, I think João Mário is great going forward, but he's such a liability defensively. Some games he does well defensively. Other games, it's like he doesn't understand defense at all. And then Zaidu on the other side, it's, you never know what you're going to get from him. But at other times, like, he can make a good play, have a good performance, and then the exact opposite happens, whether it's shortly after in the same game or it's the following game after he has a great game. He just has a stinker. So, you know, this is like, I guess this whole question is just part of the issue that needs to be resolved. There's a lot of ifs, there's a lot of questions, and it's not just the midfield. It's also that system that's going to work, that finding that system that can work with the players that we have.
I don't know if we've changed the system so much that we don't have the players to play the same style of play that we played last year. I think that's the issue. I don't know if it's a system change yet. I honestly think it's just we're lacking in the offensive capabilities that we had last year at the moment. I don't know if he's going to change his system. Like, Sergio's very safe and he's pragmatic, so I guess we shall see. But I think there's going to be tendencies of players to play more, say, outside wing, like a Galeno. Like, he's a wide, that guy likes to get wide, right? Where if you have, like, Pepe or Otavio on the right, like, those guys like to encroach in the middle. They like to rotate.
Yep.
There's a lot of more rotation, so I think it's the person that we have out there and their tendencies, really, at the moment.
Yep. So next question, ACM87 at FCP87. Going forward, what do you guys feel is the best starting 11, and who do you feel should be sold or loaned out? Honestly, I don't want to say that I want players to leave or be loaned out, but going forward, starting 11, I want to see David Carmo in now. I think this is the time to start him. We're going to be playing against Gil Vicente. It's a tough opponent. So let's see what this kid is made of. Obviously, we've seen him last season. He was very, very good. But let's see what he's made of in a Porto jersey. So I want to see him. In the midfield, it's hard. It really, really is hard. And until things really get out of hand, I'm going to have to say, in Sergio Conceição, we trust. He's there every day. His judgment is usually pretty good. He's correct more times than he is not. So I'm going to go with what he thinks is going to work. And until it starts getting out of hand, I'm not going to really say much on it in the midfield. I think everything else, maybe throw in Galeno in the starting lineup and substitute Pep or whatever, I'm totally fine with that, or keeping everyone the same on the attacking front. But I think with the midfield, it's whoever Sergio Conceição thinks is best, I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah, I agree, because like I said, 9 out of the 11 players that played this past weekend are my starters. The only ones that would change are the Bruno Costa move and the Marcano, right? Marcano for Carmo. And then I'd like to see Grujic back in the mix. I think he's a safe bet. I think he locks down a lot of games for you. He makes the simple plays. He doesn't make too many errors. And he's the safe choice. So,
yep.
I think I agree. And Sergio Conceição, we trust, and I think we'll see rotations because, I mean, the season's long and there's going to be a congestion of games. So we'll see Galeno get his starts, but I'm definitely curious to see who's going to earn their starts from names we don't really mention at the moment.
Yep. And I actually wouldn't even mind this experiment. having Otavio play centralized more and in for Bruno Costa. I wouldn't mind having Galeno out on the wing and maybe have Pep more inside or whatever it may be. So I think that could be worth a try. I wouldn't mind seeing all those three players on the pitch at the same time, Galeno, Otavio, and Pepe. So wouldn't mind that at all. Next question, Jack Hacken at Companator. How similar are the Eredivisie and the Portuguese League since they always seem to overlap? That's a really interesting question. What do you think?
I think they're similar, but I still feel like the Portuguese League's just a tad bit stronger at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I think they both have their ups, like their pros and their cons from each, right? Ajax, nice academy. They made a Champions League run recently. They have some good history. It's associated with Cruyff. But to me, having Porto, Sporting, and Benfica just makes the league a little bit stronger. And to me, I still think Porto and Benfica are still stronger clubs from their top two.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sporting, Benfica, and Porto are very similar to Feyenoord, Ajax, and PSV. Yeah. But I think right now the level of our top three compared to their top three, and PSV are having a great season right now. Yep. Ajax has obviously been tearing up the Eredivisie the last three or four seasons. I think they won three or maybe four straight seasons. They're top notch. I think Ajax at their best is probably better than any Portuguese team right now. But I guess these leagues work in waves. You know, there's like a stretch of 5 years where the Portuguese league may be better. Then there's another stretch of 5 years where the Eredivisie is better in terms of like those top three teams. Because I think that's, I don't know what the intentions are of Jack Hacken's question is, but it fluctuates with it fluctuates, and there's the similarities between the two is that they're money ball teams. They're kind of the youth academies to the big boys. And all three of them do a pretty good job at having a good youth academy and scouting young players and then selling them off to the bigger clubs. So I'm a big fan of the Eredivisie in terms of that, because they play a really good style of football, especially Ajax. I really enjoy watching them play, especially when they're at their best. But I mean, they're more similar than not, both the Portuguese league and the Eredivisie.
Yeah, I don't think there's so much that separates them. But I still feel like the Portuguese league's just a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, yeah, I would say so. I
watched plenty of it. And like the thing with me is PSV is starting off strong, but to me, I just feel like they always lack consistency. Like sometimes, yeah. Like I've seen them blow Ajax out, and then the next game they're playing just the middle of the pack team and they just got spanked, and it's just interesting.
Yeah, and you know, I also forget to mention AZ Alkmaar, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, AZ Alkmaar. They're like the Braga of the Eredivisie, and I think they won the league maybe. I think they've won the league in the last 10 years, I believe. Maybe I'm making that up. But, you know, they've always made a good run and they make the lives difficult for the top three teams. They're kind of like our Braga in the Portuguese league. So, yeah, it's pretty similar. But I'll agree with you, Jason. I think the Portuguese league is a little bit better. But, you know, the top three teams and going up against the top three teams of Portugal, it would be a good tournament, I guess, if you would want to say that. If there were to be a 3v3 tournament somehow, it would be a pretty good battle.
Yeah, so put it this way. Usually, if I see Porto and Benfica in the Champions League, like that's two teams in the Portuguese League that I think always have the potential to make runs in the Champions League. When I look at the Eredivisie, I really think it's only Ajax that can make that actual leap in the Champions League. Yeah. I think the others just make runs in Europa.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. No, well, we'll see what happens.
Like I said, it's very similar. I just think it's a sliver better from the Portuguese side.
Well, Benfica beating them last year in the knockout stages, I guess we get the little bit of an advantage on them, I guess, but can't give too much credit for Benfica. But I think we're definitely capable. I think Porto are definitely capable for a nice little run this year in the Champions League, as we touched up on the previous segment, that we can go far. Who knows? I think things can. Let's keep the faith a little bit, not just in the Champions League, but for the rest of the season. Let's believe that we can actually get through this tough period, get a few wins in the next few weeks, and hopefully things get figured out in the meantime. So hopefully that's what happens and we finish out the season strong and with the league title in our hands. So, all right, Jason, going to wrap up this show. Any last words?
No, I think we covered everything to date. Let's be patient. Let's keep the faith a little. Let's stay a little bit positive. I know we like to be negative as a from the Portuguese culture and heritage, but let's be a little positive. Let's believe in the team. Let's let them work things out on their own. I mean, it's like anything else. It's in progress. They'll make improvements. Let's see what's to come.
All right, guys. Well, that'll do it for this episode, and thank you all for tuning in. Please follow us on Twitter at FC Porto Pod ENG. Follow us on Instagram at Porto Pod ENG, and find us on iTunes, subscribe, hit the 5-star review, and we'll see you guys next time.